All right, Philippians chapter 2, very familiar passage. We looked at it a couple of years ago to focus on the humility of Christ. But there's application to us on the basis of the humility of Christ, something the Pharisees did not have, which we looked at this morning, or, in that case, the disciples of John who had not taken John's advice to follow Christ, and were in league instead, it seems, with the Pharisees on a certain issue of ritualism, formalism, in fasting. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let's pray. Lord, it's easy to look and see how awful these Pharisees were and how the disciples of John had missed a great opportunity to be followers of Christ, missing their teacher's instructions, and how the self-righteousness is so odious. But Lord, it's easier to comment on that in others, and we ourselves are given in many places the same injunctions against that behavior so that we understand that we too must guard against it. It's not just the Pharisees. And we, Lord, live in a land where selfish ambition and conceit is high on the list of practices, and we're seeing very obvious, evident results from it. And Lord, we pray first that we would be in line with you in this regard, and that we would see more increasingly of your influence upon this world and this country, that there would be the same kind of humility that you require of your people, that you would make us be that influence, that others might come to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I saw a poster, a picture of a poster that had a man facing the sun, the morning sun. And the caption was, "Good morning, America. What shall we be offended about today?" And that struck me as being very much American these days. That people get up and they go through life and they find something to be offended about, and they are offended about it and they complain about it, and sometimes even society is moving to change. Target, where Cindy loves to shop, released this, I think, this past week. Target Corporation is removing gender labels for most of its children's department after customers complained about signs designating certain toys for girls. The kids' bedding section will no longer feature boy and girl signage, and the toy department will be without labels and pink or blue paper on the shelves, Minneapolis-based Target said on its website Friday. Gender labels will remain in the kids' clothing section because of sizing and fit differences. Retailers have been moving away from gender stereotypes, and some startups have emerged to break down the divide in kids' clothing and toys. A signage that sparked the dispute at Target was for building sets like Goldie blocks that are targeted at girls. Quote, "As guests have pointed out in some departments like toys, home, or entertainment, suggesting products by gender is unnecessary," Target said. "We heard you and we agree. Right now, our teams are working across the store to identify areas where we can phase out gender-based signage to help strike a better balance," end quote. In June, Ohio mom Abby Bechtel called out Target's gender designations in its toy aisle. She posted a photo to Twitter that showed some signs for girls' building sets next to regular building sets. The outcry was swift, with angry shoppers calling for change. Quote, it stood out to me as a good example of the way our culture tends to view boys and men as the default normal option and girls and women as the specialized option, Bechtel told CNN at the time. I mean, all I got to say is, what do these people do with their minds? People going through Target, and they see signs that are offensive. And how are they offensive? Well, some are blue and pink, designating boys and girls, and you got Goldie blocks for girls. And bedding. Bedding is designated for girls or boys, and we really don't need that. And it says that there's an outcry. Oh, of course there would be. The outcry was swift, with angry shoppers calling for change. Mom, what are you so angry about today? Well, Target's got signs up designating things for boys or girls. There was a time this would not have happened. And in fact, it's because we're hearing about it more these days, is that the time has come where people are so offended by things that should not offend people, should not rule their lives, should not affect their emotions. We've seen it with flags, with all gender things. We see it with everything. Somebody is going to be offended by it. Jesus, of course, is offensive to people. He can't be anywhere anymore in public. And when he's put up in manger scenes and such as that, put up in private, they get mad. They're offended. People are offended for being thought of as odd. If a man dresses in a woman's dress, and somebody says that's odd, well, they're offended by that, and we got to stop it. One man in California a while back was offended that God was in the Pledge of Allegiance, and there was a big rush to remove it because, oh, we can't offend him. It's been noted in recent times, and we've seen it for 6-7 years now, the president cannot say radical Islamic terror because he doesn't want to offend any radical Islamic terrorist, I guess. Cops can't shoot certain criminals. We've had a lot of white cops shooting black criminals, and even if you're under threat, it's railed against as a terrible offense. I mean, there may be instances where it shouldn't have happened. I know there is. There was one down in Charleston. But every one of them, it seems, is offensive. In my high school yearbook, or my yearbooks, we had in every class a class beauty. Someone who was considered, I don't remember the voting, but there was a vote taken at every year, and there was we called it a beauty sponsor. I don't know, they were sponsoring beauty, I guess. They were the pretty girls. And there was a picture of them, and it was, to us, it was absolute nothingness. I asked Jessica about it one time weeks ago, and you know, about how that sounded to her in this day. It would not happen. You could never single out a pretty girl and say, "This is the pretty girl in the class." But back then, I don't know how the girls felt, but we didn't even think about it. If a man in this day opens a door for a lady showing a certain amount of chivalry or respect, that's sexism. But at Columbia Bible College, we were right from the start told that when a girl comes to the table, we stand up. We were sexist. Help her with her chair. When she sits down, we can sit down. We open the doors. I mean, I guess, I don't know if they still do it. Maybe the sexism crowd has come to Columbia Bible College in the years since I've been there and shut all that terrible stuff down. So without a doubt, our land has become hypersensitive and easily victimized by others. And just, I've just grabbed a few. I've been thinking about this for weeks, but I've been just grabbed a few of the examples of this. I mean, restaurants have to be careful. Grocery stores have to be careful. Everybody is on pins and needles in the country because of what someone might get out of something and how they might be offended by it. And, oh, we just can't do that. I mean, and it's not that they're offensive, but they're taken as offensive. I'm glad that it was the generation of World War II in the 40s, 30s and 40s, that fought World War II. Because if this generation today would get so offended so easily, would have fought, they would have surrendered at the first hardship. What is the cause of all this? Why is it that offense reigns now? You can't go a day without hearing that somebody got offended in the world over something. They're offended by the gospel, we know that. They're offended by us saying that Jesus is the only way. We know that. That's been for a long time, but it goes on and on and on and on. Now, the Christian demeanor is opposite of that. Christians are human beings just like everybody else. We know that. But the Christian demeanor is established so as not to be easily offended. It is not a Christian character to be the way the world is in this, being offended by everything. In fact, Christians are throughout the world persecuted very terribly, and it's endured. We don't like it. We want it to go away. But you never see the crying and whining about it. The Christian is established as someone who can stand up against offenses. We're to quickly forgive and to seek forgiveness where we've wronged someone, rather than maintain a sense of being offended. If you're offended, it means you haven't forgiven. And so to be offended by someone, they're inconsolable because they've been wounded, they say. We're to bear with one another, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are people who bear with each other. We bear people. We're to lose our lives for others, the Bible says. We're to lay down our lives for one another, John says. That's not an offensive demeanor. That's someone who is giving of themselves. When persecuted, we're to rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is our reward in heaven, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. We persevere in doing the will of God. We've heard Dr. Belcher and so many times talk about these missionaries and how much they endured, how much they went through. They were treated far worse than any offense of our day, which is real or imagined. And they persevered. The Christian character is one of persevering. You can't make a Christian stop serving the Lord by these petty things that people get upset about. If a Christian's told he can't read the Bible, a Christian's going to go somewhere and read the Bible. You can't read that. That's offensive. We're still going to do that. We're going to persevere. But that means following God and not promoting ourselves. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So the Christian, if you placed a Christian character in the world, all this offense that's being taken today would vanish. There would still be the same kinds of things going on. You would still have a lot of things that weren't right in the world, but you would not have this, woe is me, I've been beaten down, and oh, I need some help, and There would be a stronger character. Christians have a strong character by the grace of God. The basic Christian demeanor that applies here is selflessness. Philippians 2 is about how we're to behave because of the way Jesus behaved. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, or did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, made himself of no reputation, took the form of a servant. You see? A servant doesn't take offense, even if he's offended. He doesn't create little issues of little things. He considers himself to be a servant. He's there to serve, not to be served. And Jesus was obedient, humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He persevered. So the Christian demeanor, the Christian character, is based upon the selflessness of Christ. So when Paul brings out this character of how we're supposed to be, it is selfless. Verse 4 of this passage, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. A person who's offended doesn't do that. A person looks about after his own interest and then applies it to others. Says that others have to do this. Others have to not offend me. And really, in a mathematical sense, this is an impossible model to follow. Because if every person must be catered to for what they personally find offensive, it is impossible to have harmony and unity in our society. Because every day is going to be something else that has to be given up, surrendered, that is not offensive, except to some people. And they can't endure it when they should. We're Christ. For us to live is Christ. And so our demeanor is based upon the character of Christ. And I think what we'd have to imagine that if all were seeking Christ in our society, then all these offenses would not be rising. If we were seeking Christ, we would not have the offense of gender right now. There would be no question about it. There would not be the offense of the gay marriage. There would be no question about it. Things would not be left to people to say what they liked and then to have them be catered to and to demand. But the source of personal offense is the demeanor of people outside of Christ. That's not that Christians can't be offended. We certainly can. We're not perfect either, by a long shot. But the world basically lives in lust, covetousness, and pride. Those are the three core values, the three core motivations that drive the sinner. And people are basically selfish. Now, sometimes they're selfish in a service type of way because that gives them something that they're seeking for themselves. But we're basically selfish. We die to self when we come to Christ. And that means we do not seek our own way. But the Bible is very clear, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And with the legitimizing of that in our day, with the pampering of that, with the understanding of that, with everybody saying, oh yes, there's nothing wrong, you're just being the way you are, then offense has risen because it's been encouraged by the whole attitude towards sin. People are more selfish these days. I mean, I know the Bible says we should not long for the former days as though they were better. And that means we shouldn't live in the past and mope around about it. But it doesn't mean that verse in Ecclesiastes, it doesn't mean that the former days weren't better. Just we're not supposed to live back there. I know in my lifetime and in your lifetime, for the most of us, that this matter of selfishness and offense that comes from being selfish was far less. We often talk sometimes, maybe not often, but we sometimes talk about how we were disciplined back in our day. How were we disciplined back then? And what did we say about it when we got the belt or spanked? And, you know, what did we say? Where's my timeout? No, it was much more brutal. And before that, even more probably. Well, if that happened to a child today, the Supreme Court would end up with the case. Yes, there's abuse, certainly. There always has been that. But today it's viewed like even if you, any spanking. And can you imagine? Teachers used to do that to us. Can you imagine what would happen to a teacher in the public school system today if they took a ruler and smashed a student on the hand? The student would be taken to Congress to meet Congress and the president in the White House because they'd been hit on the hand with a ruler, and the teacher would never teach again, ever, in any country or planet. That's a change. I went to school with a lot of people who needed a good swift whack on the hand with a ruler. And they got it. And I'm sure I was not one of them. But people are more selfish, more hypersensitive. They're more in touch with their self-offense. We're told that respectable behavior these days is to not speak against anything, not judge anything, not discipline anyone. And notice how the school system is now. There's no discipline. And how much better it is. I mean, if you like chaos. But we didn't even think about it. You think we could go whining to our parents when we got spanked at school and said, "A teacher spanked me"? Well, we'd get it at home. Why? Because we did something at school that was deserving of a spanking. Of course, it's been for a while now. If that happened, the kid runs home and crying to mama and daddy, that the parents would be in the principal's office complaining about the teacher. See, that's a shift and not a good one. So when everyone is so in touch with selfishness, they expect everyone to center on them. And when people don't, they're offended. That's the way it works out in our day. Everyone's taught, oh, this shouldn't be happening. I don't like that. I don't like those colors at Target. That offends me. How could you ever use offense for Goldilocks? Goldilocks! Oh, I'm so offended. We used to get guns at Christmas. Play guns. Think that would offend anybody today? I had the kind of thing that Sylvester Stallone would have had in that first movie he did. I don't know why I can't think of it now. Yeah, Rambo. Rambo. I had something he would have liked to have had. It shot plastic bullets, but it had a grenade launcher. Jerry, I don't know if you had stuff like that. Had a machine gun. Had a bayonet. It was plastic. Boy, I was tough with that thing. They would send me to therapy today. And my parents would be prosecuted for something. Warmongering. Offense. Because people are self-centered. And they want to be coddled and centered. The center of someone's attention. It's easy to be a victim. And victimization means, you know, you didn't do anything and stuff was done to you, and now people have to do something to raise you up, and you don't have any responsibility to get out of the hole. And there are people that need help. I'm not saying that, but there are a lot of people who just need to just get up and go. And there's just no offense at Goldilocks. There's just no offense at having bedding of different markets of boys or girls. This whole thing of gender should not be an offense. It is a non-issue except to the selfish and the self-centered. So Paul's answer here, I mean, not foreseeing what I'm talking about, but just our life, verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. That word for selfish ambition is about someone who is promoting themselves like to get a vote. They're putting themselves out there so as to be the center of attention, so that a person would respond to them in a certain way. If it's a politician, it's the way they talk, you know, to different groups of people and say different things based upon the group they're talking to, because they're seeking support, a vote. So selfish ambition is the promotion of self, the ambition to be higher in the eyes of others and more approved, and in this case more coddled and more lifted up and more pitied at times. And also, let nothing be done through conceit. Conceit is pride. It is self-esteem. Groundless self-esteem is one way the Greek word could be translated. So it says in some versions, empty conceit. So a person who has this kind of conceit, this empty conceit, is someone who doesn't have a basis necessarily for being, for requesting of people that they be lifted up, but they request it anyway. Give me respect. Give me honor. Listen to my complaint. Listen to my offense. Do something about my offense. I did this with my grandmother. I was offended. I got mad. I told her I was mad. You know what she said? Scratch your mad place. That was her answer. Scratch your mad place. Today, that same offense would be taken to court, and lawyers would get involved, and the Congress would pass some kind of law to make sure that whatever I was mad about could not even possibly be done again because I was offended. But I think scratch your mad place cut right to the heart of it and got rid of it. I never scratched my mad place because I didn't know where it was, but that's as far as it went. She said she basically didn't care how mad I was. It was just the way it was, and so get on with your life. And that's what I had to do. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but there's not just a don't do, but there's a do. In lowliness of mind, that's humility. That word means humility. Let each person esteem others better than himself. Complaints, offenses come because a person esteems themselves better than others. They believe they are worthy of better treatment. They demand it. I am a person, and I should have esteem, and I should be honored. We hear it with the transgender these days. We hear it with the gay marriage crowd. You have got to esteem what we are. And the biblical Christian way is that nothing is to be done in that way, but instead there is to be more esteem given to others and in righteousness. Let each esteem others better than himself. That means, that word is a word that means a rank or a position in society. Like a person is higher up in society than we are. Rather than, the way it is these days, a person who is offended elevates themselves above all of society. A person who is offended doesn't care what has to change in society. These people who are for transgender things and gay marriage, they push themselves above all of society. It doesn't matter the corruption that's happening to society in their minds, as long as they get what they seek. It's not the Christian way. A person who esteems another better than themselves is not saying absolutely by taking an inventory or a census that person is higher or is better, but he is treating that person as better or higher. It is an act. It is an application as though it were true. Parents do this all the time with a child who is of lower rank, but the parent loves the child and centers upon the child and does things with the child and for the child, in essence, in practice, esteeming that child higher than themselves, even though we know they're not. So nothing is to be done the way society is doing it today. Nothing is to be sought this way. And yet we see it all through society, because there's not this desire to focus upon Christ and to mimic his humility. And so humility is lowering myself. And the people who are offended today are raising themselves above all of the others. There's a person who doesn't want God in the Pledge of Allegiance. He think about the fact that if we take God out of society, more and more will be more and more corrupt, more and more a wicked nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, let's take that out. Does a person consider that? Of course not. Does a person consider the morality of God and how he made male and female? Do they consider that? No. People don't want gender anymore. They don't want to have a gender from biology. And so Paul says we're not to be that way. And if everybody was the way we were supposed to be, then we wouldn't be having all this. I mean, I want you to have a good week, but I mean, you may notice through the week, if you perk your ears up to it, you'll hear it probably every day this week, some new offense that somebody's taken over something. Now, Christian offenses or Christian complaints about things will be ignored. But the world's offenses about things Christian, or the world's offense about things in the Bible, oh yeah, that'll be heard. And our place in the world is 1 Peter 2, verse 15 says, "This is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." We're to do good. We're to love others. And in the area of something moral, we can put up with a lot of people's complaints and try to guide them to the truth and get to where they're not so self-centered, to where they get offended all the time. But we follow the law. We follow the good of society. We do those things. Peter says that in that passage there, which verse 15 is part. But he says, by doing good, you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. There's a lot of people who offend people. They're ignorant and they're foolish. What do we do to get over it? We do good. We serve others. As free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We understand why people do what they do. We understand why sinners do as they do. We understand how the selfish try to be, you know, catered to. We know all that. The gospel is the answer to that. Our place in society is to be like Jesus and do things from humility. And hopefully others will. And someday, if the gospel spreads and people hear the gospel and hearts change, we won't hear things like the terrible offense of Goldie Blocks. I hate to even bring it up to you tonight. I know how hard it is to hear something like this. Or that there's gender bedding and colors. Soon, one day, if we don't change, someone's going to propose to Congress that we do away with blue and pink. Because blue and pink have become identified with genders. Blue for boys and pink for girls. And we just can't have that. And so blue and pink, gone. It sounds silly, but you know, don't put it past this world, because tomorrow's another day, and America is going to ask, what shall we be offended by today? But for the Christian, it's not offense, that we are concerned about. It's being more like Jesus, who tells us to humble ourselves and consider others better than us. Let's all stand.